Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Baseball fans, welcome to Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. As you can tell here on the YouTube channel, feel free to call me Sully. I'm going to do something on today's podcast that I don't normally like to do, but every once in a while, you have to do it. I'm going to complain about something. This show is available on the YouTube channel. If you're watching me right now on the YouTube channel, we're also available wherever you get your podcasts, including the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. And if you have a smart device, be sure to tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and Locked On Dodgers with Jeff Snyder. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. One of the most miraculous, fantastic, wonderful things that has emerged in technology, of all the things in the internet that have ravaged our society and caused death and destruction. On the positive side of the internet, it's given us the MLB app. The MLB app is an application forged from the gods, brought down from Mount Olympus, and placed in a basket, pushed down the river, which I then recovered and found perfection on my telephone. You see, I am kind of a unicorn baseball fan. I enjoy watching all the teams and following all the teams. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Locked On had me host this show. I love following games and going back and forth between the games and trying to figure out who's going to win this. And, that's an interesting play happening there. I want to see what's happening. I bounce back and forth. The reason I say it's a unicorn is most people seem to focus mainly on their team. That's why in Locked On, you have all the individual shows, Locked On Yankees, Locked On A's, Locked On Padres, etc. And the fact of the matter is that's how most people follow baseball, but I enjoy watching the whole sport. That's what I love. And the MLB app is designed for me, where I get to follow each of the games. I can watch video of the games as it's happening, with the exception of the local teams. I'll get to that in a second. But most importantly, I can listen to the audio, the radio broadcasts for all the games. Now, as I'm at the gym, as I'm wont to do, if I'm taking walks, if I'm getting to and from my job, if I'm taking a walk at job during one of my few breaks that I have, if I'm just at home, one thing I've grown to love to do, especially after the 60-game season of last year, is I love listening to the games more so than watching them. I love that I can listen to when I drive, I can listen when I do yard work, and listen when I'm doing chores. I can listen to it if I'm just sitting down, because baseball seems to be perfectly designed for radio, for audio. It's a storytelling game. There are pauses and there's delays in the action that allow for conversation. That's part of the charm of even going to a baseball game, is the conversations and the fun talks you can have along the way. But the MLB app has a grid where you can listen to all the games, including the local games. Local games are not blacked out. And I can go from game to game, channel to channel. And I've been using this app for the last few years, probably the last 5 or 6 years, maybe even more than that, now that I'm thinking about it, in almost a decade. And you are listening to one game, and you see the scoreboard. Oh, they got two runners on. I'll switch over to that game quickly. Kind of like at some point during the season, you have a chance to flip around between all the different games. People who are big football fans love to flip between the games. They have that red zone channel. But do you flip between, there's a one game on this channel, one game on that channel. You flip back and forth. And sometimes you can watch two or three games at once. This is not a new concept. Even back when we had to turn the physical damn dial, my father would have carpal tunnel syndrome, but he'd still be able to do it. And somehow we could watch the Red Sox game and the BC football game, and maybe even some of the Celtic game all at the same time. And somehow my dad would not be able to miss a pitch or play. And the app they have there allows us to go in, listen to the games, and not only listen to the game, but whichever announcer you want to listen to. Are you a bigger fan of Joe Castiglione, everyone at EEI? Do you like John Miller on for the Giants? Do you like Sterling and Waldman in the Yankee games? Do you want to listen to Howie Rose? May he get well, please, Howie Rose, and the great crew they have for the Mets. Whomever it is, whomever you like to listen to, because that's a key part of enjoying baseball games as well, is that you listen to the announcer, and they're like your friend. They're the person you want to hang out with. It's one of the reasons why we get emotionally attached to our announcers. They're not just reading a ticker. They're the companions that we have when we're watching the game. And it's a wonderful thing, especially in a day like today. I'm recording this on Sunday, where there are a bunch of games going on simultaneously. You just want to go back and forth and back and forth. Well, there is a new development with the MLB app that has made it complaint worthy. And I know we would like to call this a first world problem, and I am the first one to admit that. But they've added a wrinkle to it. And the wrinkle, I think, is an important one to bring up because it demonstrates a tone deafness that baseball has consistently had over the last bunch of years, including the concept of blackouts. Now, I've said many times, all blackouts should be lifted. There should be never a game that is blacked out, because the whole concept of the blackout is, well, you can't watch it on your device. You got to sit down in front of the television and watch it there. Well, that's not where people are watching these, are they? That's not where you're watching this. That's not where you're watching your TV shows. It's not where you're watching anything. You're watching on your devices. If you're going to black them out from your devices, you are not acknowledging the world that we live in now. Okay. What else do they do, though? I found this out. This is a new development. And keep in mind, I pay a subscription, $100-some-odd a year, which is, in the end, a fantastic bargain. As I watch, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of baseball games a year, spending $100. It's certainly less than a dollar per game that I watch. Well, now, if I'm using the audio app, and I change the channel, oh, the Red Sox have runners on second and third. Oh, the Yankees have a runner on second. I want to go back and forth between them. Do you know what they do now? I'll tell you what they do now. They wait 30 seconds. You have to wait 30 seconds in order to have the channel switch. And during that 30 seconds, they play an ad. Every single time. If you want to go back and forth, you got to wait 30 seconds. 30 seconds, while not an eternity, is really, really annoying if you want to go back and forth between games. Let me give you a sense of how long 30 seconds is. Starting in now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You get the idea. It's still going on. An ad is still going on. For whatever it is. I'm not going to give them free advertising here. But while this ad, that by the way is still going on, is happening, you're going, come on, what was the next pitch? What was going to happen next? What was going to go on? By the way, we still haven't switched to the game from the point where I started. We still haven't switched to the game. We still haven't. And, okay, now we have. Now just imagine every time you want to flip back and forth, you get flipped and you have to wait. Imagine doing that with your TV set. Every time you hit last channel, you have to sit and watch a 30-second commercial. Oh, but by the way, they automatically switch you to the home feed. What if you want to listen to the announcer you want to listen to? Then you switch it over to the visiting team. You wait another 30 seconds. So as you want to see what happens, you have to wait a whole minute. Oh, but guess what? The app is really sensitive. So sometimes if you're holding it and your thumb brushes it, you may automatically click onto another game. And you have to wait the 30 seconds to get to the end of the ad to then flip it back. I had a segment the other day where I had to wait 2 minutes to switch. Now, 2 minutes is not an eternity, and I know there are far worse problems in the world to have right now. And there was a period of time we had to wait all day. Back then, we had to wait till SportsCenter. I get it. But we have technology that up until, 2 weeks ago, you can flip back and forth. Now, I know Major League Baseball has bills to pay. I know that. But if you have a subscription, and you pay for a subscription, you should be able to, flip back and forth between the channels without having to say, do I really want to do this or do I want to wait that 30 seconds or not? That's not how people watch things. And by the way, you don't have the skip ad option you have in YouTube. And if they want to meet me halfway and say, okay, when you turn it on, you have to sit through a minute of commercials and then you can watch it, fine, or listen to it. Fine. I'm not thrilled with that, but fine. But the idea of taking away the very action of flipping back and forth between games, taking that away from baseball fans at the peak of a pennant race when three or four games are going on at the same time every day is so tone deaf just to sell a few extra ads. How many times do they have to do the wrong thing? How many times do they have to do things that make fans like me annoyed? You don't have to worry about me dropping baseball, but for everyone else, where they can flip to YouTube, they can flip to Hulu, they can flip to Netflix, they can flip to Amazon Prime, the minute they get annoyed by that 30-second delay, and it's almost a minute because if you've clicked the wrong thing, you have to wait a minute. Do that when you're flipping around TV. Say, oh, I'm going to switch the channel, but I'm going to wait the 30 seconds. Let me tell you, I've been annoyed when I flip the channel and I've missed the home run or I missed the double play or I missed the big moment. Why? Because I'm sitting through an insurance ad. Fix it. Don't make us wait to switch between channels because you're making one of the great joys that you have of following all these games extra annoyed. And do you know what? You don't want annoyed fans. You would think you would learn that. Annoyed fans are not happy fans. You want happy fans. Hey, I'm going to share something personal with you. I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. Okay, I should explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, well, I had to order one for myself. And let me tell you, they were spot on. I'm no elite athlete. I do try to work out. I try to watch what I eat. Molecule sleep scientists created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch. Not like the other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool at night. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me in all my weird sleep positions so I never wake up with a stiff back or a sore neck. And it's antimicrobial. And if anyone knows me, I'm against microbial. Molecule Mattresses is how elite athletes and your pal Sully get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have the deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com. and save 20% with promo code Locked On. Again, 20% with promo code Locked On at molecule.com. Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter, the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device is required. Content varies by package. I want to ask you kind of a philosophical question. When you hear the concept of a bad contract in baseball, what do you think of? That's a bad contract. That's a good contract. Oh, that's a really smart deal. Oh, what a lousy deal that is. How are you framing that? What is your criteria? And is the criteria that you're using and the manner of which you're thinking a contract is good or bad, is it always in the point of view of the owners? And by doing that, are you doing their heavy lifting for them? Now, look it. Let me explain to you what I mean by this, because I see stuff like this all the time. Whenever the articles are written about what are the worst contracts in baseball, they're always framed with the idea of these are the most overpaid players in baseball. These are the ones who are making piles of money while not producing. Therefore, framing that question always in the manner of, for ownership, this is a bad deal. I would argue for the players, it's a great deal. I want to give you three specific examples of things that I have seen recently that make me realize that the owners have always been using fans and the press to do their heavy lifting for them because they never can win in the courts. Let me give you three examples. And if you are guilty of doing any of this, I'm not condemning you, just pointing it out. Recently, Cole Hamels had been signed by the Los Angeles Dodgers as yet another World Series hero that they were trying to throw on their roster and basically turn their team into a Justice League of great pitchers of the late 2000s, mid-2010s. As it turns out, Cole Hamels' experiment didn't work, just like it didn't work last year with the Atlanta Braves. He's a veteran. Pitchers break down. Even the greatest pitchers eventually break down. And Cole Hamels, who had a fantastic career, all-star, World Series hero, his career is basically done. Now, along the way, he picked up $3 million. He was paid $3 million through some combination of the Braves, the Dodgers, and chances are the Spirits of St. Louis of the ABA. Some combination of them put 3 million tomatoes into his available checking. Okay. A lot of people I saw make snarky comments about that, roll their eyes about that. Yeah, that's good work if you get $3 million. What a waste of money that is. What a terrible deal. Recently, Miguel Cabrera got his 500th home run it's an inevitability that he will join the 3,000 hit club. And he is already a Hall of Famer, multiple MVP, won the Triple Crown back in 2012, doing some of this from memory, and has been one of the greatest power hitters in the history of the Detroit Tigers. In fact, if he hits 40 some odd more home runs as a member of the Tigers, then he will pass the 400 threshold for home runs, which would be the greatest home run total in the history of the Detroit Tigers. Al Kaline currently holds the record at 399. And this is a Tiger team that's had many great sluggers, including Hall of Famers Hank Greenberg, Al Kaline, and Alan Trammell. And incredibly underrated Darrell Evans. I digress. And the celebration that people have had over the career of Miguel Cabrera, especially in this lost year in Detroit, I read more than one person talk about the fact that Detroit would love to get out of this contract as he's being paid 30 some odd million dollars as this elite player, this long deal. And he has been listed amongst some of the worst contracts in baseball. Miguel Cabrera. And I'm going to just say one name because it comes up every year, and that is Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla, who was a superstar when he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 1990s and signed a, at the time, long-term expensive contract with the New York Mets that was supposed to jumpstart the Mets. Now, unfortunately, his time with the Mets was not very pleasant. The team was terrible. And in the end, he was not a great fit in New York. He wound up going to Baltimore, winning a World Series for his troubles as a member of the Marlins, and kind of bounced around from team to team, returning to the Mets, and then finding himself in Atlanta. And when he was traded away, the Mets restructured his contract. The Mets made it so he was going to defer a ton of money of his deal that would allow him to be paid $1 million a year for a bunch of years after he retired. And that was a smart move for Bobby Bonilla. It's a very smart move for Bobby Bonilla. But every year it's brought up as an example of Mets incompetence. Now, let me take each one of those examples individually. Cole Hamels. Yes, he is going to make $3 million to not pitch this year. That's true. That is a good deal for him. But when people talk about Cole Hamels getting that $3 million in an injury-plagued year where he could not pitch, does anyone then bring up the fact that the year that he did pitch the Philadelphia Phillies to only their second World Series title in their entire history, he was paid $500,000. Granted, he was only in his second or third year, so he wasn't arbitration eligible yet. But he took the Phillies to the promised land, and he was the NLCS MVP in the series against Los Angeles. He was the World Series MVP in the series against Tampa Bay. And 2 years later, pitched a complete game victory against a pretty good Cincinnati team to clinch the division series to send the Phillies back to the National League Championship Series. One of the greatest runs the Phillies ever had in their history was between 2007 and 2011. Yes, they had Cliff Lee for some of that. Yes, they had Roy Halladay for some of that. But when they won it all in 2008, they didn't have either Lee nor Halladay. The leader was Hamels. And he was paid what you would expect to pay a middle infielder, a utility infielder, or a left-handed specialist. That's what they got for $500,000, is a World Series hero and an all-star caliber pitcher, you know, the most coveted type of player in the game. So when you factor in the 3 million tomatoes he's going to make this year, are you also factoring in when he was paid $500,000 to lead the Phillies to the promised land? When you're talking about the gigantic contract that Miguel Cabrera is making as a member of the Tigers this year, are you taking into account that he was a big part of the offense when the Marlins won the World Series in 2003? And there were several years he was a top five or top 10 MVP candidate. The voters for the MVP said this is one of the elite players in baseball, and he was making under $1 million those years. Is that ever factored in? Is that ever factored in to whether or not a player's contract is? And why aren't those called bad contracts? Why isn't the $500,000 that Cole Hamels made as a World Series hero, or the $700,000 that Miguel Cabrera made as a top 10 MVP candidate, why aren't those called bad contracts? Why are those considered good contracts? They're always being seen from the point of view of the owners. Let's get to Bobby Bonilla. Say it with me, folks. The Bobby Bonilla deal with the deferred money was smart. Not just for Bonilla, but for the Mets. That's an example of Mets intelligence. But Sully, he's being paid to not play. No. He's being paid for his services rendered in a contract that was agreed to. a contract that everyone loved when it was signed. But not only is Bonilla getting paid, and he's not going to be one of those stories of, oh, this athlete made all this money and he's now broke. No, Bobby's going to do okay. Thank you very much. But that deferred money allowed the Mets to free up some dough, free up some payroll, and put together the team that wound up going to back-to-back National League Championship Series and winning the pennant in 2000. It gave them financial flexibility to eventually bring in the Al Leiters and the John Olroods and eventually the Mike Piazzas of the world that put together the team that played in one of the only World Series the franchise has ever seen. 69, 86, 2000, 2015. Four of them. One of them was done because they had the money to spend. And part of that money to spend was freeing up and deferring the money in the Bobby Bonilla deal. And $1 million now is less than $1 million in 1998 and 1999. So it made financial sense for the Mets. And it made financial sense for Bobby Bonilla. But it's easy to frame it as, oh, look at this. Players getting rich. Oh, the Mets are so dumb. There's always eye rolling of the players getting rich. These are a bunch of millionaire spoiled babies. Now, first of all, no one ever points to the owners who have that money and then some. No one ever points to them as being spoiled or rich. But whenever you talk about a player and being overly pampered, being a millionaire baby with nothing to complain about, are you ever factoring in their times in the minor leagues? Are you ever factoring in what's happening in the minor leagues where there is no union and the teams have an antitrust exemption so they can do whatever the heck they want? And you see players are not making a living wage, sometimes sleeping out of their car. They don't have food money except for a pitiful stipend. As these players are making less than if they were flipping burgers or being on unemployment, for organizations that are making billions and billions and billions of dollars, does it ever factor in when the players are portrayed as spoiled babies of the, how do I say it, the gauntlet that they had to run through to get through? Low A, single A, high A, double A, triple A, and not earning a living wage at any point of that, and knowing they could be sent back down there at a moment's notice. Knowing that they can be cut because there's no recourse because they're not part of the Players Association unless they're on the 40-man roster, which most of them aren't. Are those years taken into account at all when they're being portrayed as spoiled millionaires, as opposed to the owners who are all swimming in Scrooge McDuck piles of money and in the past have not exactly been forthright and honest? You know, collusion, you know, Bud Selig and company, you know, every time they take their case in terms of labor disputes to the courts, they have a worse winning percentage than the Indians in the World Series. Have you ever noticed that? The only time they ever win anything is in the court of public opinion to portray the players as a bunch of greedy people who are doing the thing that you would all dream that you could do. You would do it for free. You would do it for nothing. And then these are making millions of dollars. You wouldn't do it for nothing. You wouldn't. Maybe for a week you would, but then you look around and say, this is some hard work. And I got to keep my level of play at the super high level, and I could be thrown out the door, and everyone's making millions and millions of dollars. I want mine. You would do that? Absolutely you would. Especially after a bunch of years of making nothing. I don't begrudge players making money because there's lots of money being made. Lots of ad space being sold. Nike swoosh on the uniforms during the Field of Dreams game. Okay? Lots of money is being made. And the players are the ones on the field doing it. Now, could there be ways to negotiate? Sure. But the owners keep losing because whether it was the reserve clause, or free agency, or free agent compensation, or opening up the books, or collusion, or whatever, every time they go in front of a judge, or any time they bring it to a arbitrator, they always lose. The only time they win is getting popular opinion against the players. And are you helping them? Are you helping them by calling the players greedy? By not taking into account some things of reality? It's that time of year again where all eyes are turned to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. And be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and use promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless and sometimes intimidating questions, all the while the person goes behind the counter and orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. This is not Locked On Pravda, okay? This is not going to be holding up pictures of Comrade Lenin in the background or everything. This is a podcast about sports, but unfortunately, labor issues sometimes raise their ugly head. I'm old enough to remember the 81 strike, the one-day strike of 85, the lockout of 90, the strike of 94, and the lockout of 95. They were all ugly. And believe me, I don't want this podcast to be one where I talk about labor issues. It was dreadful living in a baseball time where I had to know Don Fear's name. All right? I don't want to deal with that. And in a day and age where everyone is making money hands over fist, and there's so many options for entertainment, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or YouTube or whatever, that fans could leave baseball like that if it's taken away from them. Oh God, I got too much of my Netflix queue anyway. I can't spend that time watching baseball. They've got to come up with labor peace and do it without missing a single game. Okay? But don't carry the owner's water for them. Don't do their job for them, okay? If a contract is a bad contract only because it's bad for the owners, what are you really saying? Is a deal for Mike Trout, as he's being paid a huge amount of money, maybe a bad example because he's hurt this year? Hey, what about for Joey Votto? Joey Votto has helped the Reds turn things around. He has a huge contract. Is that a bad deal? Is that a bad deal because he's being paid a lot of money? Don't do the owner's work for them. Ask yourself, why is it a bad contract and who is it a bad contract for? And why is public opinion always against the players? Partly because we fancy ourselves as players. maybe some of us fancy ourselves as general managers because we have our own fantasy baseball leagues and everything. So you understand the value of the dollar. Maybe you're watching Moneyball over and over and over again. But why is someone like Billy Beane considered a hero, worthy of having Brad Pitt star in an Oscar-nominated movie, but someone like Scott Boras is considered a villain? There's never going to be an Oscar-nominated film lovingly looking at the career of Scott Boras. Why? He's an agent. He gets the players the best deals. If I were a player, darn right I would sign Scott Boras. So would you. So would you. For people who say Scott Boras is ruining the game. Why? Because he makes sure the players get paid? That's ruining the game? But I've heard that Billy Beane is recreating the game by cutting corners, by getting players on the cheap. Look, he put together a championship team and the payroll was super low. Why is he the hero of that? And the villain isn't the owner. Every A's owner is filled with green and gold. And I'm not just talking about their uniforms. I'm talking about their bank accounts. They're all billionaires. They can all pay for it. They choose not to. Just like they choose not to get a motel room for their minor league players. That would have been the equivalent of finding a quarter in your couch for them, is to make sure that every one of their minor league players has just a motel room and three square meals. To pay for that, it would cost them nothing. It would, what we would spend on an Uber tip. But they choose not to. So why are teams praised for being cheapskates instead of being vilified? And why is it that a bad contract is always framed as such from the owner's point of view? Ask yourself that. What makes a bad contract? And are you doing their work for them? So go to the free and easy to use Odyssey app. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts and follow me on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPods. Same handle for Instagram. My personal one is Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, and wrong team favorite picks, and the Lee Sterling lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.